You're listening to Have Mike Will Travel with Elizabeth Santry.
Hello. This episode was recorded in San Diego. I actually flew into LA and then drove down to San Diego to meet with John Francis Peters. He's a photographer and he does a lot of traveling himself. We had done a show together, a photo show, years back, but I didn't really know him that well. And so I was looking forward to our conversation. I wasn't really sure what to make of it. And I met him at his family's condo. And it's got this great 70s look to it. I'm assuming that's when it was made. And it's surrounded by all this green lush plants, which you would assume in this Southern California vibe. But what's funny is that it had rained really epically the day before. So it actually kind of made you grateful to have that kind of weather, which I think it's easy probably to take for granted around there. So he took me inside for our chat, and I immediately noticed this floor-to-ceiling book collection. And there's a lot of collections in the house. And one of them's like VHS tapes, and some of them are John's skateboarding days, which is pretty cool. But also there's like a collection of parakeets, which you will hear in the episode. The space is really cozy, and I start setting up my equipment, and John seems totally at ease, and the sun is pouring in through the sliding glass door. It was a really relaxed environment. It was really nice. I hope you enjoy this episode. Sunny San Diego, thanks so much for having me here.
Definitely.
It's a really beautiful day, thank God. It wasn't really recently.
I know, it's monsoons, very rare.
Does everyone freak out in San Diego when it's not nice
now? That was very rare. I've never seen rain like that in San Diego or even California, for that matter. I think it was like, I don't know what that was.
Sure. But the beauty of it was that, you know, being outside now, it just brings back the appreciation. I think sometimes every once in a while you need the clouds to really appreciate the sun, because it's sunny like all the time here.
It is. Well, that's the thing about San Diego or Southern California that I've learned over the past couple of years since I've been here, is that the summer and the winter time are drastically different in the California way. The winter time is when I find that the clouds and the sunsets are much more vivid. There's a certain, especially in San Diego, because you get a little more of the tropical air that comes up, so you get mm-hmm. different type of clouds and whatnot, as opposed to Los Angeles, which is like, has its own kind of atmosphere mm-hmm. and its own world going on. So
this is a family home, this family condo.
Yes. Yep.
And so there's a lot of family kind of collections of stuff, and there's these great parakeets that might be picking up on the mic. I'm not sure, but that's cool regardless. I really appreciate you having me, and I wanted to just like immediately talk about, you know, photography and get to that. I think mm-hmm. it's a classic question for people in a certain generation about how was your journey from film to digital, and was it smooth, and, you know, did you take to it, and, you know, how did that affect your perspective on photography?
I guess it kind of, I had a friend who once, when I used to only work in film. I mean, I started when there was basically only film, and towards the tail end of it in the late 90s, early 2000s. And so, you know, I was apprehensive about it in digital, and I had worked in like medium format film with a Mamiya 7 mostly in my early days. And I had a friend once who was just like, you know, I want to start working in digital now because I don't want to be 10 years down the road and not shooting, know how to use digital. So it was like, that kind of struck me as like a moment to really get serious about like learning about this new form of the medium. So the transition was, it was not too rough. I mean, it's definitely like, you know, for a long, up until now, I feel like most film cameras resolution wise and in terms of like tonality and stuff are obviously superior, but digital is caught up, you know, dramatically, and in the end it's more agile, which is something mm-hmm. that drew me to it, because, you know, just being able to like fluidly move through different environments if you're documenting in that sort of way is superior to film. But it also, you know, you have to catch yourself, because the way you work and think with film is a slower, more thought out process than digital. So it's you know, this is what everyone talks about, and it is real.
Do you mean like in pre-production, meaning you have to be like aware of the environments and things like that, because you don't get a second chance, or you don't have the split
with the
second?
Film.
Yeah.
I mean, with film, I'm working with film actually in San Diego, which is mm-hmm. funny. The reason why I picked it up again is because of the light in California and this like having this ability to use this type of light. I really want to capture everything here. It's kind of a basic way of putting it, but it's I guess with, you know, what was the question again?
Well, I guess sometimes people can say that there's a you start to be able to cut corners when you get into digital in some ways.
Right. Okay.
And so yeah. With pre-production, you have to be so present, I would assume, because I mean, I've never worked in film to the level you have, but I would assume it takes a lot of presence and awareness with the technical aspect that there's no cutting corners or there's no second chances with film.
Well, there's that. I mean, there's definitely like you have, you know, you slow down dramatically and you have to. You know, I come from like an artistic background of painting and, you know, multimedia work, which I still do. And, you know, it's like you're planning out your steps a little bit more, like moving at a different pace. And digital, if you're not careful, you don't work at that similar pace. And I feel that to make really interesting images, one, you know, I've definitely made images I feel that were like in sort of a rapid fire mode with digital. But I would say my working with film, it's and that process of a medium format film specifically, it just like lends itself more to like, you know, the type of artwork I used to make, which is like each step, each position I put myself in, the way I'm thinking of the composition or, you know, how I'm going to use this flash. You know, I've even shot like parties with a Mamiya 7 and a flash, which is ridiculous. Like, and like be like shooting 10 frames and then figuring out like, but you really think about your exact movements, which I think is and so I mean the way I work, I don't put too much time into like my production part, I guess, like my tool set I've always kept minimal. So
this could be a good opportunity for you to kind of make the segue as to this project that you're working on now in San Diego, because, you know, travel based show, the location's significant, so I'd love to hear. You can also use it as an opportunity to thread into like your journey to making you use San Diego as a home base,
right?
And then how it kind of connects to your work as well, like how you got here and versus, you know, being in other cities.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's my home base is fluid right now.
Okay.
It's pretty weird, but
LA, you travel so much.
Well, so the long story short, I ended up out here. My mother's from LA. I was born in LA. And so Los Angeles and Southern California has been a big part of my life in this weird kind of background way. And my father moved back out here when I was a teenager. And so I've been coming to San Diego throughout my life. And it's been kind of like this home away from home of sorts. And I, at some point about 2 years ago, exactly, I had an assignment in Tijuana. And I had just left my job working for Fader Magazine. I was an editor there for about 5 years. And I was just open to anything. And I had just gotten back a couple months before from a long journey through China, through Western China, doing a project there. And I got back and I was like, you know, I got this assignment at Tijuana, and then I did it. And then I came up to San Diego, obviously, to see my, right across the border, to see my father. And I was just like, I'm going to stick around. And kind of things fell into place and I just stuck it out. And I just said, hey, you know, I've always thought of Southern California as a possibility and let me try it now. So there's a big difference between LA and San Diego for me at this point. You know, LA's a global city. It's, you know, it's just chaotic in its own amazing, you know, way. And I love it for all that. But it also, at this point, I feel that there's certain things about the smaller cities in America. And, you know, I had lived in upstate New York in the Hudson Valley for about the whole time I was working at Fader for those 5 years. And after living in New York for 9 years. So, I got back into a much slower pace of life, you know, pace. And so I needed a bigger environment. I felt like LA was a possibility, and it's still, and that's where I'm based, quote unquote, which I do, but
you're close enough. It's not like,
it's, you know, I'm living there part-time and then part-time in here. And then I, you know, go back to New York, throughout the year. So it's kind of like, it's hard to figure out where to live in the world today.
Agree.
Yeah, and after like traveling so much, you've seen so many amazing cities and whatnot. You're kind of just like, where does one go as an artist now?
You know? I sympathize with the possibility of the family aspect, because traveling, when you've seen amazing or you've seen unamazing, the point is that you kind of go inward and think home is where that you know certain feelings resonate, and so I feel that personally when it's being around, you know, your core support group or just, you know, family, because, you know, when you've seen all bunch of different things, sometimes you don't need to be anywhere mega to feel, you know, creative.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, I grew up in the Hudson Valley and this, like, the Catskills. So it's like when I got back there after living in New York City, I was just, it really helped me out a lot.
And,
like,
which just, is an opposite tale. I think it's interesting because I've been slowly becoming that because I used to be someone who fed off of the energy of a big city.
Sure.
And I was, you know, lived in large-ish cities for like 15 years. So I know what you're talking about where it's a different type of fulfillment and a different type of energy that the quiet can actually provide.
Yeah.
It's just as an exciting level
of
energy.
Just lets your mind kind of, it's a different, you're absorbing different information. I mean, when you're surrounded by trees or mountains, you know, it's not just like something that's aesthetic. It's something that actually the energy there is, it's the purity to that is different than obviously living in like a Los Angeles, you know, where it's like, you know, you do have a lot of nature in Los Angeles and in Southern California, but you're also surrounded by an incredibly urban area that's super intense in that way. So it's like, you know, there's the signals that you're picking up and how that relates to the work that you end up producing is pretty powerful. So
you talked about being born in LA and you talked about also having time of growing up and the Catskills. These are visually, you know, very different. When did you know or when did you feel confirmed about, you know, the quote unquote artistic or photographic eye? Like when did you notice that you started editing or framing up stuff, you know, when did that click and say, wow, that's a thing and I do that?
I went to school in New York City at the School of Visual Arts and I actually went in to study graphic design, which is what I got my degree in. But the first year I got there, we all, you know, have a foundation year and I ended up, we had a photo class and I ended up just immediately the first day I went out in Manhattan, it's a funny day. It was like, I went out and I black and white, you know, the camera everyone gets when they first start. And, you know, I wandered around Chinatown and then downtown and I was just like amazed how things looked through within the rectangle, you know, I was just like blown away and then the focusing and everything. And then as I headed back uptown, I ended up in this huge protest and it was, for affordable housing in New York. And it was just the power of it. And like, you know, being able to like really feel like connected to that was when it clicked for me. Like, and then I went and I developed my photos and I was like, I don't know what this is yet. You know? And when I saw my photos, I felt there was something special about them. Like I felt a connection to them and I'm pretty honest with myself. Like I was like, I think I have something, you know, like that might, pan out here, you know? So I just kind of kept falling in love with it during that beginning time and just was in this dark room all the time more than any of my other, classes. And, the guy that was running the darkroom actually gave me access during this summer. So that was the beginning of kind of when it felt like it was something that I knew when I looked through the camera, as silly as that sounds, it was like I could do this for the rest of my life and feel like happy. Like there was no question about it. Like I was just like, yeah, I could do this. You know, before that moment, I felt, I don't know, like I remember in high school, I wanted to be like some sort of athlete, you know, or something. And, you know, so it just became like and as I, you know, as I still studied design and I became experienced at these other things, like working in the design industry a little bit and for different employers and whatnot, I became more aware of like how much I loved these specific things that photography needs.
Things that has to offer?
Well, the things that I loved about it were rendered in that first day where I love being outside. I love exploring. That was like, I grew up, you know, as I was growing up, I was always traveling around the country and I took this, you know, road trip, cross-country road trip with my grandmother. So traveling was like just a big part of my life. And so being out exploring is a big deal. And then also like being able to like connect with culture and people, you know, it was like something.
But then you mentioned the politics aspect, which I was going to ask you about, you know, was it that, would it have been a coincidence that you stumbled upon like this protest or is it inside or like, or did you always sort of feel somebody who had a political compass and you know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt like I was, you know, why I stayed there to photograph the protest is like, there was something that resonated with me. I mean, it was like, you know, I guess from my background of just where I'm from, my upbringing, it's, you know, I'm from like, I guess, lower income area in a certain way. And, you know, I wasn't like, I just feel like I identify with certain, groups of people that want to find ways to, you know, just the rights we're owed or we should be given. And like, I guess, you know, there is a power to photography, you know, as a connector to that moment at that day, it was, I felt like I was one with them, but also I could be a communicator of what was happening and also be an artist to like create something out of it.
Or I see.
Extract something out of it that would be like.
So you're hitting a couple of tick boxes, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of.
There's like journalism and the communication aspect of spreading a message, and then there's the creative visual that you're fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And then there's the travel for the exploration.
Physical
and then
part, the
politics, you feel like you're making a difference. So that's really cool that you took something, like photography can mean different things to different people, and to you it means all these things.
Yeah,
so where's you know, traveling brought you that, you know, made you, I don't know, I guess the first time you thought, I can't believe this is like, holy shit, I can't believe that photography is leading me here.
You mean like traveling-wise?
Mm-hmm. Like for whether it's for an assignment or whether it was personal work.
Wow. I guess, well, again, like a lot of my first days in the beginning were spent, you know, in basically doing street photography in New York City and Brooklyn mainly. Mm-hmm. And I would go upstate on the weekends and I would shoot in these little towns like that I grew up, you know, hanging out in or skateboarding in or whatever. And it really gave me a chance to like get to know those places even more, you know, like, it's one thing when you pass through like Kingston, New York, or, you know, Newburgh, New York or whatever. But when you hit the ground and you start walking, you know, it's like you get to really meet those people that you took for granted, you know, like the, and this, and just the landscape of it. And then in New York City, I was still learning about this city and the world through New York. So it was, you know, I feel like there was lots of different things happening that, just pulled me deeper into like exploring what it's about. I mean, I did a long-term project, I guess kind of midterm project, one winter, where I just ended up befriending a group of homeless people that were living underneath the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. And they were like an older group of people. They weren't like young folks. And they just kind of are like, I don't know, just it's kind of a naive, normal thing that a lot of photography students do. Maybe like you hit the streets and you start walking, but
I did the same thing going into like houses that were literally falling down.
Yeah. Well, it's and I think it's really important. Like some people would say, you know, it's something to shy, you know, be careful photographing homeless and stuff. And you should, you always should have a respect. And I feel like a lot of people don't have respect when they work in any art form, you know, I mean, so you have to respect respect the world that you're collaborating with. And I feel as long as you're doing that, you should provide a voice to these places. And so I think like that was a big part of my initial kind of introduction into like, you know, the background of what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What
well, you seem to have like a real sensitivity to culture and what has, you know, almost like it's a sound. It sounds like you can sort of hear it like a frequency and, you know, what, you know, I'm curious as to like what habits or rituals, you know, that to your work life and your work style or your view on work, like specifically to work that traveling has offered, you know, is there a community that like showed you something or, you know, just an exposure to these cultures that stuck with you, that sticks with you in your work style?
Sure. well, every place I've gone to, I feel like I've learned, there's like another thing that kind of it provides, like it's never a static thing. I feel like being creative and artistic, you know, it's like, and especially when your studio or your medium is so collaborative with the world, you're always, there's new things happening. So it's like one of the biggest, I mean, you know, I think like the place that's drawn me in the most and the most foreign place has been China, you know. And and when I first went there, it was like just the actual like challenge of navigating it, it was and photographing it and like all those the different aspects in relation to that was something that really, like, I guess it taught me a lot of things about how to move around the world,
you know? Okay.
And so it's because you're traveling but you're also an artist, so it's like, you know, this is a very difficult thing because you're in transit and if you're in a place like China, it's so much different. Everything is different, you know, and like just to get a bus to go to somewhere else, you know, you have to like learn characters and you have to you know, you have to speak Mandarin. So it's these different things started to like inform the way I was working, of course, you know. So I mean, I would say the challenge and like, you know, the effort to try to like navigate and at the same time be like as creative as possible within that environment was something that began to like form my process, I would say.
Because I feel like with travel, there's this sensation of motion, but then to be creative mm-hmm. or to create, I feel like, and this could just be my perspective, there's something about it that suggests standing still long enough to make it because you just, you put your head down, you're so super present, it's got to be like right now, mm-hmm. but travel is like, no, keep moving, so that must be like interesting to manage those tempos.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but then there's, as I became more in tune with this rhythm of my own way of working, you know, which is something I'm still learning about and I'm owning more mm-hmm. because I feel like, you know, I've been like a little bit more of the artist and then I've been a little bit more of the photojournalist and I've realized that like, you know, I want to be this, my own thing. And like, I work in a certain way and I'm interested in certain things and I move at a certain pace. And so, you know, that movement became more as part of the process of actually creating the images. So I know like, I feel something if you know, I'm picking out a random town in like Ningxia, China or something, and I'm gonna get there, and then I'm gonna kind of feel out, well, is this place? I mean, I think I do have like I have like a good sense of place. So like I from traveling as a child, like I definitely have been in so many little towns and cities, I can kind of get the vibe of them, you know, pretty quickly.
So part of you sort of surrenders to an innate skill.
Yeah, it's intuitive.
Yeah,
it's completely intuitive. I mean, it's like I go into a setting with that type of working process and we'll go out and I'll try to like meet people and then one person leads to another and then a place leads to another place and all of a sudden you dig and dig and dig and all of a sudden you find yourself in like this one nook of the world where like something's happening and then that's where okay, now it's happening and now you have to shoot and you have to be the artist who is going to render this and then it's, you know, that's that part of the process, you mm-hmm. know? And I'm really fascinated by like these, you know, nooks or like these corners of the world where you can find yourself all of a sudden in tune with or observing something that is just so, you know, I don't know, surreal or, you know, mm-hmm. something you can never dream up, but it also wouldn't be happening if you weren't there. So it's part of your story or your dream, I guess.
Okay.
In some ways.
So on a really introspective, like looking inward, you know, I love asking people about whether the topic be legacy or success. And I feel like what it means to be successful, I feel like it transitions with time. And I think some of it is, you know, maturity. Mm-hmm. Some of it is perspective and just getting better at what you do or understanding better what you can't do and kind of being okay with that. Mm-hmm. How has, like, what did you think success was when you were first getting into it? Into that, like, how do you define it now?
Well, I guess it changed a little bit. I mean, in the beginning, it was just like, I was just so interested in like what happens when you make pictures. What happens when you make pictures and like the printing process and all that and how the world, you know, how I interacted with the world and like the amazing kind of magical moments that I could be part of, I guess, and like, and then make an image out of. And then I got, you know, it hasn't been all roses, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So as you learn more about the medium and the entire industry or whatever you want to call it, the career path, there's a lot of ugly things too. And there's a lot of, some of those things you don't recognize as being ugly at first, like just drive to be successful and like mm-hmm. make money. And then all the like, and then you start to like hear voices from other photographers. Oh, like this is the photographer. Like you got to be like this guy. And you know, like, and then it's like these trends and all this stuff. And then you start to see like this other thing, which wasn't part of like the beginning of, you know, the purest moment. So, mm-hmm.
so how did you manage those? You know, you could say maybe, I guess you could call them just like negative influences or just mm-hmm. distractions along the road. You know, how did you handle them? Did
it's
you buy
hard.
Into it
I mean,
first or
yeah.
did you have a way of just blocking it out?
I felt like I was, because I am like an open person and I'm relatively sensitive, to be honest, it hurt a lot. There was a lot of moments when it hurt, when I was just like, you know, someone would be like, you know, this is not the way to do work or something, or like, you know, everything should be like Gregory Crutzen's work or something, and stuff where it's like unattainable. And I just felt like that's just not what type of work I'm interested in doing or the type of work I'm interested in. And I had to be really strong to be like, you know, you meet those people, especially when you're in your 20s or you're younger, that are just like so, you know, stubborn, and they just think like, yeah, whatever, you know, like this is the way it should be. And It was hard because some of them were friends, you know, and some of them were weird characters that, you know, were friends of friends. And I had to sometimes it affected me. And as I became more aware of, like, you know, people are people and it's going to be weird no matter what, you know, I became less, I'm still sensitive to everything, but I felt like I understand it better now, what it is, you know, and everyone has a different agenda. And so you have to, be careful with who you listen to. You have to follow, that original kind of interest, but also be truthful with, like, pushing that. You can't just, a lot of, you know, if art is not, being artistic or creative is not like a given. You have to work really hard at it.
I think that's a misconception. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like any sort of, it's like running, you know,
it's something
to practice. I think that's what I would like to achieve with the show is, you know, let shed some light that on the realities of, you know, the things that it requires to accomplish a decent level of, you know, awareness or having people know what you do or being known for your work. It's not easy to do.
For sure.
And I wanted to know a little bit, you touched on it briefly as you were just describing, and I was wondering, did you have a mentor? Is that, I know that you talk about your dad's work online and, you know, it's really great. And I was wondering, did you pick up things from him? Was that a mentor? Or did you have another mentor? Because that influence is a big deal when you're young and impressionable.
Yeah. I mean, my father, you know, his artwork has been huge, you know, what I think was the biggest part about my father's work is that, and him being living the artist lifestyle, was showing me that it wasn't crazy. It wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't like something that was, you know, wrong to do. It actually was really right. And if you felt it and if you feel it, you know, then you have to.
It's really special to have that.
It's a very, I mean, then that's why I feel like there's a lot of people that don't have that and they end up being confused or whatever. And they end up, you know, I mean, I meet so many people, you know, especially with the project that I was in San Diego, where I'm meeting these kind of traveler people and these folks that are like trying to find themselves in different ways. And I feel like a lot of those people are really great artists probably. And they just didn't have that, like, you know, a lot of them probably didn't have that extra like person. So having a mentor has been really important. And my father's been that. And then I've had you know, there's been many people, especially like friends who were just little things that like helped me to like learn the process and like all the basics of photography. But then there's been a couple of big ones, you know, like I worked for this guy, Jonathan Mannion, for a couple of years, who's a very successful rap photographer and like portrait photographer. And his work was just really beautiful portrait work of like hip hop artists and, you know, urban musicians. So I loved his work. He had studied under Richard Avedon. He assisted him. So there was I felt like
a legacy.
I was just learning something through, like, it was like amazing. And then another amazing human being. So I was like getting a lot from that experience for about a couple years, I think I worked for him. And then when I started freelancing a little bit, and then I got my first assignment from Phil Bicker at the Fader magazine. And he was the one that kind of really set the tone and like created the vision of the Fader that is what most people recognize it as now. And he, is this brilliant creative director and photo editor from London or UK. And, you know, he picked up on something in my work. And I remember, like, the first time that I actually, the first assignment I got, I shot CBGBs on, like, Sunday afternoons. There were, like, these 18 and under shows or something. Like, kids basically came from Connecticut. So, you know, I went and I documented it. And, I shot with a Mia 7 and film and stuff. And I came with, like, clunky contact sheets. You know, I had like the idea of what pictures he probably would want just from seeing other magazines out there. And there was one picture I remember seeing that I thought was interesting. It was just this falling apart picture of just like a pulled back shot of the room and kids moshing. But it was just like, it didn't feel like it was like set in stone. You know, it was like a unfinished photograph. And immediately the first picture he picked was that one. And as soon as that happened, I knew that this guy was like there was something very special about maintaining a relationship with him. And so he's been like a gigantic mentor for me, you know. And so yeah, I would say he was like the biggest one. And then working under him at the Fader, and you know, it was just really important. It was like my master's in photography, I would say. You know, I couldn't have dreamt up a better experience, really, I guess, as silly as that sounds.
It's great. I would love to touch back on what you were saying with your current project, because I love the behavioral observations that you're making, because I sometimes toy and play at psychologists, you know, because I like to be aware of certain things and how they roll out, whether it's like hormones, how they affect your personality, to lifestyle and how you're raised. So I think that's really interesting. Please elaborate on this project and the people that you're meeting.
Oh, absolutely. I guess throughout the time I've been coming to San Diego, I've always kind of found it to be an interesting environment. It's, you know, at the edge of America, south and very far, you know, farthest south and the farthest west. So And then it's a border town, and it's a military town, and it's Southern California, and it's a surfer town, and a skateboarder town. And so it has all these really interesting dynamics. But then one thing that always stuck out to me were these kind of these characters I would find in the beach areas where I would skateboard, and they were like these kids that would, or all types, all ages, that would just, these folks would just end up, and, you know, they would be there for a little while. And I remember like hanging out with someone, I would skateboard at Mission Beach a little bit. And so that was kind of like a memory, and I always thought it would be cool to like photograph that in some way. And so again, when I came back here a couple years later, I kind of was paying attention to it more, and I was picking up on like these scenes I kept seeing after having so much experience, up till now, working in different countries and environments. And I just felt like there was something to explore, because I would see these people in these really interesting, you know, laying underneath these beautiful trees in these parks. And like, obviously they were, some were homeless or transient or, hippie kids or, you know, whatnot. And so I started exploring that, and I realized that there was obviously like really important and powerful stories to each one of these individuals or groups that I was photographing. And
do you have a style to approach people? Is there like, you know,
I just go up to them. I mean, I see, like, you know, at first there was a lot of like seeing, but now I kind of like, I've seen so many different scenes of these, of what this subject looks like, that I actually have to, I'm now like beyond that a little bit more. Like, I'm kind of feeling like, oh, I'm going to go to this part of the area today, you know, and like, because the light's like this or something. Mm-hmm. So, and the way I approach people, I mean, I pretty much just go up to people and I say, hey, like, I'm doing this project. I'm pretty like, I try to be very focused and like, look them in the eye and like, you know, tell them like, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm interested in stories and just not being afraid, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I've gone up to majority of people are like, at least hear me out. And, you know, every once in a while I get someone that's just like, peace, you know, get out of here or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, that's fine. But it's a very, it's just being like, I think that most people, especially when the people are travelers that are, you know, moving through all these different environments, their majority of their time in their life, they can sense if someone is real or not, or like dangerous or not, you know. And they can sense me pretty quickly that I'm not. I mean, I had someone today, this girl, I was like talking to this group of people, and I was just standing a certain way, and she was like, you're East Coast, aren't you? And I was like, whoa, like, how did you know that? And she was like, because of your tension in your body, I can see it. And she was just, I was like, yeah, you got me, I'm from New York. Like, I mean, like, I can't shake that. So,
but yeah. I love the anthropological, you know, influence in this, because the observation of people and behavior, it's really cool. I really like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big part of, I mean, ultimately this is a story about like people in America right now too. And like, you know, this is not a new thing, obviously, but like but it's interesting to me that it's what it looks like in 2015 now. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, to be, you know, living this transient lifestyle, or like this, you know, traveling indefinitely, you know, at this point in time in America, at this stage of like what's going on within the world. And, you know, and so it's interesting. I'm getting the biggest part is, it's about kind of like the character of San Diego, the people within the context of that. And then also like getting their, you know, pulling out their stories a bit. Mm-hmm. And so their stories go from anywhere from like hippie kid got on a bus and ended up in San Diego, or hopped a freight train, to, you know, a girl who's trying to reconnect with her brother and living out of her car because she has no more gas, you know. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. it's pretty amazing.
Well, the one cool thing that I, or just to me, that's interesting, is when I speak to my guests, mm-hmm. they're really good at what they do, and they tend to not feel like, it doesn't feel like work, it doesn't feel like a job, it's a pure pleasure to do what they do, and that's great and all, but I am still really curious what you do when you're not working, because can you, you know, some people, you know, they work all the time, some people even fringe into workaholic, but mm-hmm. you know, what do you do not working?
When I'm not actually like physically out in the field shooting, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on with like self-promotion, because I'm a freelance photographer.
But that's work. Yeah. I'm talking about like purely like when and how, and maybe the next question is, and how often do you even do this?
Right.
But I mean, purely not work, and it has nothing to do for promotion gain or research.
Anything like that. Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess.
Because it's just about disconnecting, because I have a theory that what you do when you're not working actually impacts how well you work, because you need to not work.
Yeah,
at times.
I try to maintain the headspace like that. I mean, I feel like everything I do or I think I'm going to do has to like click into piece like another component of this you know, whatever thing I'm creating with my life. But I, when I'm not literally working, I definitely like, I love, I got to get back to doing it, but I like to run, you know, and I do, I read, I love reading. I mean, I spent many years of my youth, like not getting into like literature and so I've, and world history and whatnot. And so I've definitely like forced myself to like really go at it hard for the last, like, I don't know, over 10 years now, just like trying to read more and like understand like the creative process within literature and like how the world's working through, you know, current affairs and whatnot. So really that's all I do, to be honest. Like I basically like shoot photos and then I read and then I and then I, yeah, I mean, I try to exercise.
Well, you're in the right place. It's, yeah, at least it is, yeah. To go outside, you know, I think that's a...
I got the best running area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you welcoming me into your home and this space. It was really great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to show your support through comments and reviews.